Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to CenterPoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anwar. In this show, we will discuss ways that we can journey to our own centers. This can help us access our inner resources to improve our physical abilities and health, our mental strength, our emotional well-being, and our spirituality. And today, I'm very pleased to welcome Sherry Jacoby to join us. Hello, Sherry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Let me tell our listening audience a little bit about you. We work together at CenterPoint Medicine. You've had over 25 years of experience as a nurse practitioner. You obtained your BSN from San Diego State University and your master's in nursing as a family nurse practitioner from the University of San Diego. Sherry is board certified by the American Academy of Nurse Practitioners. She has worked extensively with children and teens throughout her career. She quickly developed an interest in mind-body medicine and incorporated holistic modalities into her practice. Sherry received extensive training in healing touch, brain science, mind-body medicine, vitamin D, diabetes prevention, and the microbiome and nutritional supplements. She is trained in hypnosis for the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis and has worked at CenterPoint Medicine for the past 3 years. I'm really excited to talk to you because you have a lot to teach me and our audience, Sherry. Welcome again.
Great. Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'd love to find out why people went into the healing professions. How did you come about to become a nurse? What happened?
You know, that's funny. They all ask, in nursing school, they ask everybody that question. What brought you here? And I can't really say. I don't have a really good specific reason other than probably my neighbor was a nurse, and I thought that sounded interesting, but I don't have a really compelling story on that one. But I didn't go to school right away. I had kids first. And so kids were my number one priority. And then after that, I started nursing school and continued from there.
Have you always been interested in helping people?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think as a kid, you know, I was probably the one that went over to the person who was crying and tried to comfort them, that kind of thing. But so when I started school, I was in my undergrad nursing school, and we were going through all of these different semesters of psychiatry and internal medicine and pediatrics and women's health and all these things. And I said to one of my instructors, when are we going to learn about health? And she said, we don't teach that. So
you sort of answered my question. Did you get disillusioned a little bit in nursing school?
I did, but not right away because you don't have time. So I just had to learn. I had to learn everything that they were trying to teach me as fast as I could, and then you get out. And you start looking around and wondering, oh, really? but the health thing really bothered me. I think I went to the wrong school. I should have gone to a DO school or a naturopathic school or some sort of functional medicine thing or something. But they have a lot more of that around in the community now than they did back then. So I probably could have made that choice differently now. But
you know, our whole healthcare system is misnamed. It's really taking care of ill people. We're not a healthcare system.
Right. It's disease care. It's not healthcare. And I figured that out in nursing school, and I was pretty disappointed. But it was good to have that background so I could move on. So I knew by the time I graduated with my BSN that that wasn't the place for me, and I needed to keep, you know, moving. So I got a little bit of experience and then went on to the master's program. And then in the master's program, they're basically teaching us to prescribe medicines as well. So it really wasn't any different there. But I did manage to find a way to practice that I could bring in a holistic type of attitude and approach. And it was appreciated for the most part. Occasionally, it wasn't all that welcome. But I was in college health for 17 years, and the students were open to options. And so I would give them choices. You know, we'd talk about, okay, well, this is what it looks like here. You got a couple of choices. You can do it naturally, or you can have this pill. And then I would give my professional opinion and let them know that it was an opinion coming from that point of view about how I thought it might be helpful, and then let them decide. The other thing that got me really going on the natural type of healthcare is patients would ask me, especially the women, they'd be sitting on the exam table and I'd be sitting on the stool in front of them, and they'd be in for their third or fourth yeast infection in a couple months. And they'd be saying, why am I getting this? Why? And so instead of just writing another prescription for Diflucan and killing off the yeast, I started to go, yeah, why? Exactly. So I, you know, it made me curious. I guess I've always been a curious person. It just felt wrong to be putting a Band-Aid on this thing when I knew that they'd be back in 2 weeks with a bacterial infection. So I wasn't getting to the source of their problem at all. And same with my colleagues. So, I mean, I looked around and watched what they were doing, and, you know, some of them just, it didn't ever occur to them to think of why this might be happening. Just, oh, this is the diagnosis, here's your prescription, bye-bye. So anyway, I started looking into the microbiome with the women's health thing, and it turns out at the same time I was offering the opportunity for girls to use yogurt or kefir in their vagina for a yeast infection or a bacterial infection. The same time I was suggesting that as an option, of course they always have the option of doing the medicine, or both. UCSD was doing a study on the vaginal microbiome, and they were looking at probiotics for the microbiome of the vagina. So that kind of legitimized my approach a little bit more. But, you know, the average person, yeah, I went to the clinic and they said, put yogurt in your vagina. So the average person would go, oh, are you kidding me? But that's not what it was. It was, you know, talk about, okay, what's the reason that you're getting this, and what are your options? And, yeah, I've seen you four times for this in the past, you know, couple of months. Would you like to try something else or something additional? So, Pardon me?
Can you explain what microbiome means? Pretend the audience is your patient. What does that mean?
Oh, okay. Well, so the microbiology of your body. And so your mouth has certain bacteria, your gut has certain bacteria, the vagina has certain bacteria, and the skin. And so all of these things, these protective types of microorganisms, if they're doing well, then they edge out the harmful types of bacteria. So if your microbiome in all those places I mentioned is healthy and thriving, then it's going to be less likely for something like a cold or the yeast infection or bacterial infection to take hold. your immune system can just jump right out there and take care of it, and you don't even notice what happened. But then
The microbiome is fascinating because you explained how it works with yeast infections, but we are now learning that the gut microbiome affects mental health. So depending on your microbiome,
right,
you might get depressed because you have a bad microbiome.
Right. The gut-brain connection is really coming into view a lot right now. So it's very interesting.
Can you also explain, so if a student comes to you and has a headache, and you can say, hey, I can give you this, or I can give you a pill or a skill, how would you convince them that, because a pill seems easier than applying a lifestyle modification, how would you convince them?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would just offer, bringing in the history, okay, how many times have you had a headache in the last 2 weeks, and what medicine are you taking, and give them the option of, would you like to try an alternative therapy? Would you like to try something that reduces stress and induces relaxation? Because if they start to see that, okay, when did I have this headache? What was I doing? Well, I just finished the test. Well, if you draw a stick figure on a piece of paper and then you scribble all over the head, that's what they can feel like after doing something like a hard test, or any of us, you know, come home from, I don't want to say a hard day of work because I work with you, but you come home from some sort of stressful event or conversation or whatever it might be, and your head might feel like it's all scribbled, or your gut might feel like it's all scribbled. You might have, you know, tension in your heart. And so people are feeling that in their body. And so I would just offer them the opportunity to play with another idea, not making it difficult or win-lose type situation, because if they get too invested in it, if they're expecting magic, then the second it takes longer than they want it to, it's going to go south. So so I like to use the word play. Play with another idea, another opportunity to help heal yourself. And so I did notice stress. Of course, being at a university, the kids, they're coming in because they're stressed. And that's when they get the cold. That's when they fall on their skateboard because their head is all scribbly, and so they mess up on their skateboard. So most of the things that they came in with were related to stress anyway. They get real stressed, and then their immune system gets down, and then whatever virus or whatever's going around has that opportunity. They don't have that strong constitution. And then even the microbiome can be affected by stress. So, and that brings me to the standard American diet. So college kids eat the worst. You know, they're eating whatever is fastest. And so their microbiomes are probably pretty much a mess. And with the yeast infection, they're eating a lot of carbs. And so yeast feeds off of carbs. So it's just kind of a perfect storm.
I think you're illustrating some of the challenges in our society. You said that in a college environment, a lot of the kids came in with stress-related symptoms. And I would venture to say in the emergency room, the vast majority of symptoms are stress-related. Even the real bad ones, like a heart attack or a stroke, are
absolutely
stress-related. But, of course, the headache and the stomach aches and the aches and pains are often just stress.
Mm-hmm.
So stress reduction is so key, and your patients were so fortunate that you were able to take a step back from treating the symptom and saying, how do I help prevent this from happening? I want to mention that it worked with me and didn't want to talk about hard day at work. I want to just share that the way I look at my vocation, I don't want to call it work, the way I look at what I do has a big impact in how it affects me. So, for example, in my work at Centerpoint Medicine, I view it in a very spiritual sense, and I'm so fortunate to be able to help people. And looking at the work in that fashion allows me to feel very good about doing this patient to patient, day to day, hour after hour. So I rarely become tired because it's sort of like a high, a natural high to help people. And I think when people are fortunate enough to be able to look at their vocation in a spiritual fashion, they too can feel invigorated by the work as opposed to brought down. And it's sometimes just a matter of looking at it differently.
Absolutely, yeah. So my approach is from the mind, body, emotions, and spirit. And so I bring all of those things into the consultation room, I guess it'd be called now. And I have a particular interest in the body. So when somebody cracks their shin on the corner of a table or something, their natural reaction is to grab it. They hold it with their hands because it feels better. And even if somebody says, no, no, don't touch it, they just go, no, no, it hurts, I have to. And so they're holding that injury with their hands. And so I've studied healing touch as well, and they use mind, body, emotions, and spirit. And so you can see what happens in the body. And with little kids that we work with, they will have stress, and they'll realize, you know, we have a drawing for them to write where their pain is, where their stress is, where their anxiety is. And they can do those scribbles, or they can make the, you know, what shape it is it, what color is it, all that. So kids are really aware of what they're feeling in their body. But they might not necessarily realize that that's happening because of what they're thinking or what emotions they're having, or if they're spiritually off balance. So it's fun to teach kids because they just get it so fast.
When you said you look at mind, body, and spirit, how do you work spirit into interacting with either the college student or younger kids? What do you do?
So we call it the inner advisor. And so when they're relaxed, we teach hypnosis, and when they're very relaxed, they can get in touch with their inner advisor and ask for advice, or just rest in that state, that altered state of consciousness, where they can connect with spirit.
Love it. Another way that's out there, people do meditation. When you teach meditation, which can be as simple as focus on your breath and view it non-judgmentally, and if your mind wanders away, just refocus on that. That allows you to look at the world as an observer as opposed to an active participant, and that can give you a different perspective on things, which is
right. Meditation is one of the relaxation techniques. So many people who I've spoken to, they'll say, oh, I can't meditate, I can't sit there, and I'm one of them. I can't do it. But I can, you know, access, if I go with mind, body, emotions, and spirit, I can check in. If I'm feeling scribbly in my head or heart or gut, I can check in with my mind. What have I been telling myself today? I can check in with my body. Have I been crunched over my laptop all day and I haven't stretched or I haven't been drinking water? I can check in with my emotions. Am I irritated? Am I mad about something or mad at someone? I can check in with my spirit. And that's the powerful part, the power of when you can be in that relaxed state, that altered state of consciousness, and really receive divine guidance.
So backing up a moment, so if you're a student of the, let's say, disease care profession,
right.
And you want to learn about health care, where should you go to? Where do you learn that?
Well, you know, now there are clinics and physicians and nurse practitioners that are doing things like functional health or naturopathic health. chiropractic, acupuncture. There's all kinds of different modalities. But I think what we're seeing now is the citizen scientist. And so people, I think, are starting to realize you don't just go to the doctor, trust what they say. I remember my dad going to the doctor in the 70s and not even being told what his diagnosis was. Here's your prescription, and do this, and come back if you're not better. And he didn't even know what the diagnosis was. But now we're getting involved in our own health care.
So, again, if you're a student of health care, you might need to take some of these, go to some of these programs to
yep.
learn.
Right.
Is there one
right.
program particularly that stands out in your mind that was helpful to you in understanding this?
Well, I really like the Healing Touch program. It's taught by nurses, and they use mind, body, emotions, and spirit. It's a form of energy work. But that's just a small part of the type of searching that people are starting to do now.
Well, when we come back after the break, actually, we hope that you could tell us a little bit more about how Healing Touch works and some of the other modalities you've learned to educate me and our audience. This
sure.
is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
Coming attraction, Life Guide for Teens, Harnessing Your Inner Power to Be Healthy, Happy, and Confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Anbar to be published early 2025. Dr. Anbar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Anbar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit dranbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar, a special guest, Sherry Jacoby, who is a nurse practitioner, and she's actually a health care practitioner in the full sense of the word. And you talked earlier about Healing Touch. Can you explain the theory behind it, how it works?
Mm-hmm. Healing Touch is a way of moving energy. It's some people consider it energy work, and some people consider it spiritual work. But it does involve the body and the attention or intention and attention of the person who is assisting the healing or change in state. And so the client, the person who is needing something, agrees to, I mean, with good explanation, agrees to have a relaxation technique. So this is done in many of our hospitals here in San Diego. Rady has a lot of healing touch nurses, healing touch trained nurses. And then at Scripps Center for Integrative Medicine, they offer healing touch. There's also a nurse full-time at Scripps La Jolla who can be called to come in and assist a patient or a provider with a healing touch treatment. So basically it's energy moving in the body. And healing touch, you don't have to touch the body. You can hold your hand 2 to 4 inches over the body. I have an interesting story about a friend years ago who was working in the ICU, and she was doing some adjusting to the tubes and whatever over the patient, and her hand was over his heart, and he was connected to all of the machines, and she could see in real time what his vital signs were doing, his heart rate and his blood pressure and all that, and so she noticed that when she had her hand over his heart, his vital signs calmed down. And she thought, wow, okay, this is interesting. And so she moved her hand away, and vital signs got worse. And then she moved her hand back, and vital signs settled down. So so that was a good, oh, and healing touch being done by nurses, it's evidence-based and repeatable and very structured and organized. Some people have done Reiki, which is a different method of teaching. So similar energy work, but different structure and training.
Tell me about intention of the practitioner in healing
mm-hmm.
touch.
Yeah, and so when a practitioner, I mean, let's imagine, I guess, a hospital setting. So the practitioner is called to the room because somebody has asked for a healing touch treatment, and so the practitioner would introduce herself and explain a little bit about what it is and offer the treatment, and then if the patient desires that treatment, then the practitioner would kind of like prayer, setting an intention for the highest good of the client and grounding and centering and becoming ready to receive. And so you can't really go wrong when you set your intention for the highest good of the client. Because sometimes people get worried about the procedure, you know, does it matter, do this hand, place this hand, did I do it wrong, you know. There is no wrong when it comes to performing some care with the highest good of the patient in mind.
So when your colleague put her hand over the patient's heart in the intensive care unit, did she intend to heal, or was it just
incidental? She did not. She did not. And so that is kind of the science. There's the art and the science of this kind of work. And the art would be, you know, offering love and good intention and intending care. And the science is energy comes out of your hands. And she was obviously there as a nurse caring for the patient. And so there is a bit of intention there, even though she didn't realize she was intentionally improving his vital signs.
And do you know, are you familiar with myofascial release?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does that differ similar to healing touch?
Well, you mentioned that the other day. I wonder if you could explain it instead of me, because I haven't exactly done that, but I understand how that would overlap.
So I have a rudimentary understanding of it. I learned it from another guest on our show, Dr. Marina Capella, and she explained that she puts her hand on a body part where the muscles might be tense, and just leave it there, and then I've done this several times, and the muscles just relax. I mean, you can feel the tension go away just by touch. Now we don't in our society we avoid touching for some reason. I mean, I know some of the reasons, but it's unfortunate because humans really respond well to touch. In fact, preterm babies who are not touched will die. Touch is such an important part of survival. And I think we could do a lot more with touch, which obviously healing touch does. Anyway, so that's my understanding, is just putting a hand on a body area and with the intention of helping gets things moving and improving.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly healing touch. So it's moving congested energy. It can move pain. It can move swelling, inflammation, infection. Even emotional congestion, such as grief and anger and fear and shame. So that muscle might be tight because of the emotion that they're feeling. And so the hand is working on the result of that emotion that they're feeling.
Now, can healing touch be done at a distance? Like over Zoom?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it can even be done without Zoom. It could be done on a phone call, or it could be done just with intention. So when it comes to how much of the active physical stuff you want to do, that's individual. So some healing touch practitioners have actually laid out a shirt and pants on an exam table and set the intention for healing someone at a distance and then done the procedures physically that way. But you don't have to do that. You can, kind of like prayer. Prayer works. I mean, there are studies that prayer works. You can set your intention and send that healing at a distance, even without doing any physical types of maneuvers.
And I would encourage our colleagues who are listening to this broadcast who are healthcare or disease care practitioners to be aware that intention affects Western medicine as well. And it's so key. Whatever you do to help people, if you have the right intention, you're going to help them more, whether you use a modality like healing touch or Reiki or Western medicine.
Right. Well, this is fascinating. That kind of brings us to the power of words.
Yes. Well, when we come back, we might talk about what words you've learned are especially helpful in helping people heal. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
Make-A-Wish has been granting life-changing wishes for children and families for over 40 years. A wish is something that gives children the opportunity to look outside their illness and restore a sense of childhood back to the child. With the help of donors and more than 43,000 worldwide volunteers, Make-A-Wish has collectively granted more than 520,000 wishes worldwide. Dr. Anbar has referred many patients to Make-A-Wish. To make a donation, go to worldwish.org. That's worldwish.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Dr. Ron Ambar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Coming attraction, Life Guide for Teens, Harnessing Your Inner Power to Be Healthy, Happy, and Confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Ambar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Centerpoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Ambar, a special guest, Sherry Jacoby, a wonderful nurse practitioner, a healing nurse practitioner, who is sharing some of her knowledge with us. So I think you talked about power of words. Are there any words that you think are especially helpful with patients, or maybe words that should be avoided?
Well, I like to have my patients think about language and how much is loaded in a small phrase, like "I've got too much on my plate," or "I can't stomach that," or I mean, they might even say, "Oh, that gives me a headache," and that's very, very clear. But some of the other language, or like that's too rough to shoulder, or you know, things like that with language is really important. And it kind of helps them see a little bit more what's going on. But as far as positive words, when I teach hypnosis, I use words like calm, confident. I can't think of any right now. and then also bringing in things from their history that might mean something to them.
And do you teach people to say this for themselves, or you just tell them?
Well, when I teach hypnosis, it's teaching self-hypnosis. And so I always tell the kids that I'm not hypnotizing them. I'm teaching them to use self-hypnosis as one of their powerful techniques that they can use to help themselves. And so they can come up with the words, and that is more powerful than what I might decide to use.
That's interesting. So you teach self-hypnosis, as do I. As we're talking about this, is there such a thing as self-healing touch?
Absolutely. Well, what we would do is, you know, put our hands, you know, like if I have a headache, if you walk into the room and you see somebody with their hand on their forehead and they're all kind of slumped, you naturally say, "Oh, do you have a headache?" It's kind of obvious. I'll teach you one quick, if I can. It's called pain drain. I think we can do it on the phone, but let's give it a try. So it's also called siphon, because it's moving energy, and it's using the hands in a certain way to move the energy. So this was developed in 1989 by a nurse named Rosalind Bruyere, and it's taught as siphon in the healing touch. So a siphon works on gravity. So what you would do is, let's say a person had a headache, they could place their left hand over the congested area. So that's your headache or tension or whatever it might be. So placing the left hand on, let's say, forehead, and then the right hand is dangled down towards the ground. So you're using gravity. so you can set your intention to feel that pain drain from the forehead through the right hand and just drip off down onto the floor. And so you're siphoning via gravity that energy. And then the patient can decide, you know, maybe a minute or two, however long it needs to be, decide, okay, is that easing up? Does that feel better? And then when that feels eased up, then they can switch hands, put the right hand on the forehead, and take the left hand and put it in a palm up fashion above the head, not necessarily right above the head, but just in a comfortable position so the left hand is receiving universal healing energy. And so then they can sit there and receive energy to replace that negative energy and congestion that had been there before. So it's pretty quick, pretty simple. I taught it to a young girl the other day who had done a lot of sit-ups and her stomach muscles were hurting her. And she did that and she's like, wow, that really worked. So it does seem like magic sometimes. But I always offer the idea that, okay, be playful about it. Because if somebody is, if they're using their thinking mind, while they're doing this, thinking, ugh, this isn't going to work, this is ridiculous, this is, I don't know why I'm doing this, you know, if they're doing that, of course it's not going to work. So the key word, I think, behind all of these modalities is relaxation and to allow, not force.
So just to make sure I understood it, initially the left hand is placed where the discomfort is and the right hand it's used to drain it by dangling it to the floor using gravity. And
uh-huh.
Then when the second part is you put the right hand on the area that needs comfort, and you put the left hand above, palm up, bringing in energy, healing energy.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
And this process can last just a few minutes each part.
Right, right. It probably took 4 minutes total with that young lady. And she was amazed. She was wiggling all over the couch like, I can't believe it. Hurt anymore. So.
Now I've
done it to myself. Stomach ache or headache, you know. I've done it to myself. Oh, you were talking about self-healing. Yeah, there are lots of techniques to use on yourself. And they do use the chakras, if you're familiar with the energy centers of the body. That's kind of an Eastern tradition. But they do use that as part of the structure of this. It doesn't have to be, but it's part of the structure. So when it comes to, you know, what hurts on yourself, just... Like say you had a disturbing something and you feel it in your heart. So you could do the pain drain on your heart, and it's just an emotion. It's not physical pain. But it is physical pain because that's how it manifests in the body. So but anyway, yeah, doing this kind of stuff on yourself, just like we would like when we banged our shin on the table, we're going to grab it. So it's a wonderful tool to be able to take care of yourself.
So you teach hypnosis, self-hypnosis. You teach this kind of pain drain. How do you pick which one you're going to teach a patient, and does one work better than the other? Is it all varied?
Yeah, it just depends on the situation at the time. You know, if somebody has pain right then, it's fun to just deal with it. Oh, I also did one on video with a girl who had a migraine. And I only had a half an hour with her. So, you know, she was in a dark room and she's like, oh, I'm not doing very well today. And so I go, okay, well, let's take care of the headache. And so we, you know, I taught her pain drain. And by the end of the visit, she was out in the house running around and laughing and showing me how cute her hair was and petting her dog. And so a complete transformation for that young lady who gets migraines frequently.
Amazing. You know, through interviewing people on this show, I've learned there's so many different ways of treating people that don't involve medications or causing more side effects, but ways of self-healing, ways of natural healing that are as effective, even more effective than traditional Western medicine. And I think it is so important to be aware of this and avail yourself of such therapies because they're healthy. They keep you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we come back, Sherry, I want to ask you if you can give three or four tips to our audience that they can take home with them. You already gave us a few that you think are the most valuable things you've learned from your long career. You obviously have a lot of knowledge to share. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
More than 30,000 children and adults of every race and ethnic group in the U.S. have cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a disease causing long-lasting lung infections, limiting the ability to breathe over time. Dr. Anbar participated in research that helped advance survival of cystic fibrosis patients by more than 20 years. He encourages you to donate to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation to help find a cure. It's easy to donate. Go to cff.org. That's cff.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit dranbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Centerpoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar, a special guest, Sherry Jacoby, who is sharing some of her wealth of knowledge with us. So, Sherry, what tips would you give our listening audience that they can employ today for improved health?
Mm-hmm. So one of the goals that I have with my patients is to make a list of things that make them feel better. One of my favorite quotes is, do lots of little things often. So with the kids, I have them imagine a bucket full of stress. And if they're carrying around this bucket and the stress is a little bit in the bottom, it won't spill and they can manage it. A little will come in and a little will go out and it'll be fine. But if their bucket is full, it's going to spill. It's going to spill over into physical symptoms or emotional symptoms, like anger and rage, that kind of thing. A kid having a meltdown, that sort of thing. So when their bucket is full, that's when they have that kind of stuff. So I like to work with the kids individually on what's important for them. So we make a list and we make numbers on it, and we might switch the numbers around. And a lot of the kids have pets, and so one of the little things that they can do often is take a break and play with that animal. You know, look in their eyes and pet them and really be present with them. And you can see that change on someone. It kind of makes you go, oh, when they're connecting with that pet like that. But when it comes to doing lots of things often, lots of little things often to help you through your day and keep your stress bucket lower, that's individual for everybody. So it might be, you know, taking a minute to pet the pet. It might be taking a minute to stretch. That's the checking in with your body part. Oh, have I been hunched over this computer for an hour? Oops, I need to break that cycle of tension. So you get up and you go stretch and you move your body in the opposite direction. And or you might do some breath work. Or you might go look at the sun. A lot of it, when you move your body opposite of what you've been doing, when we're crunched over a computer, we're kind of in that protective mode. And it can kind of give us a little fight or flight chemicals if we're doing that too long. So, you know, taking little mini breaks and, you know, have your own list of do lots of little things often. Maybe it's the water, you know. Oof, I've been sitting here too long. I need water. So checking in with your mind, what are my thoughts? Checking in with your body, what does my body need right now? What have I been doing with my body, like crunching over, that's making my mind start to have negative thoughts, the emotions, and then the spirit. So, you know, everybody's list of doing lots of little things often is going to work towards keeping their stress bucket lower so they can walk around with it and not spill it into their own body or spill it onto somebody else.
That's a terrific tip. So keep your stress bucket lower by doing lots of little things to help you feel better throughout the day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you have another great one to share? That's great.
It just breaks that cycle of tension. Oh, yeah, I have a tree metaphor. When I teach the kids that their body is like the trunk of the tree and their feet are like the roots of the tree, grounded in the earth. And that can be their family. Some kids don't have a family that they want to think about like that, but the ones who do can think of their roots as grounded in their family. And then their body is strong and tall. And then their arms, if emotion comes through the tree, it can move those branches, but it doesn't move the trunk. And so if a big emotion comes through, like something happened at school that made them feel uncomfortable, they can go, woo, and that emotion can blow through their branches, and then their branches come back to center. So they're grounded and they're centered. They felt that emotion. I'm not trying to get anybody to not feel or not or stop emotion. It needs to flow. It's energy. Emotion is energy in motion. So they can feel that emotion flow through, and it can even be, you know, good emotions. You can be, you know, kids jump for joy. They do that all the time. Their body can't help it. If they're really happy, they're just jumping up and down. So that's emotion, energy in motion. So they can understand that tree and how the emotion blows through their branches, but it doesn't blow them over. They can see that they have a say in what's going on with their emotions and their body. They can understand, and it is a form of standing back, like, oh, I saw that. Ooh, wow, that was a big one. Whew, let that go. And so they can purposely deal with that strong emotion and come back to grounded and center pretty quickly.
I like that. And I like the idea of emotion is energy in motion. That's a great, great metaphor.
Yeah, because kids, you know, they try to stop it. I mean, when we were kids, they said, quit that crying or I'll give you something to cry about. And so kids are trying to hold it in, you know, and that's not helpful. That's, you know, how energy gets stuck in the body. And so recognizing what emotion is and letting it flow through is much healthier than trying to stop it.
I love it. Another metaphor you taught me was the Superman metaphor. You want to share that?
Uh-huh. So there was a study at Harvard, I think 2011, and they had the participants, they tested their saliva for testosterone and cortisol. So testosterone, power, cortisol, stress. So they tested that, and then they had them stand like Superman, feet wide apart, hands on hips, chest open, imagining the red S on their chest and the red cape flying out behind them, kind of chin up, you know, that it's called a power pose, basically. So they had them stand like this for 2 minutes, and then they retested their testosterone and cortisol, and they had flipped. The testosterone went up and the cortisol went down. And so that's, you know, the science of energy and the position of the body and how we can work with it purposely.
So thank you so much for teaching us about keeping our stress bucket lower, using the tree metaphor, because emotion is energy in motion, and how to be our own Superman or Superwoman as a way of decreasing your stress and increasing your strength. Sherry, thank you so much for educating us and for giving us those valuable things to think about and incorporate in our own lives. It'll better us and it'll better the people whom we influence. I wish everyone an excellent week. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.